Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. We're here discussing the year's big events with Michelle Acourt and Jeremy Elwood. The international events. It's funny when you look back at some of these things, they seemed like they were the end of the world at the time. And then a few months later, you've forgotten about them and you think about Kate Middleton. I'm thinking particularly here about the oil spill, the Gulf of Mexico. That was just the biggest story, wasn't it? And you just thought for a while that maybe the entire ocean was just going to turn black by the time it's finished. Yeah. What happened? Did they end up closing it?
They did, yes. They managed to cap it eventually.
I love the media's attention span, eh? We're sort of, oh, it's kind of mostly stopped now. We'll just
Well, actually, I was just reading something earlier this week that they've discovered there is a sort of 200-kilometre dead zone in the middle of it where basically anything living has been wiped out. But like you say, yeah, other stories. I mean, that's the thing with media is the news moves.
And, remember the unpronounceable Icelandic volcano?
That was going to
forever stop air travel in Europe?
Well, it did. I mean, it did for a long time.
It did for a while.
Billions of dollars.
I like the descriptions that get used. You know, when Toyota had trouble with the Corolla, that was unwanted acceleration. And the spill. I can't believe it's a spill. It's 200 million gallons a day of oil leaking into the Gulf of Mexico, and it's a spill. That's not a spill. That's when you knock over a glass.
There was a very funny YouTube viral that went round, which was BP attempting to deal with a coffee spill at the office. And it was one cup of coffee that just kept geysering up, you know, and then trying to mop it up with napkins.
And the BP fake Twitter account, that was funny.
But did anyone stop going to BP? I actually started going to BP more because I thought they could probably use the money.
I was going to Shell because you can use your supermarket discount vouchers.
Right. Speaking of leaks, WikiLeaks. This is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? And in fact, in the last week, we've heard more and more stuff about New Zealand and Helen Clark even. We like it when we read our people's names and big stuff.
We get all excited, don't we?
Look,
we're part of the world.
Because it's always with New Zealand, it's what do you really think of us? Well, now we know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this story, again, this is one that's going to keep going for a long time. But my favourite bit of it so far is the cyber war, which has erupted between the Jester and Anonymous. The Jester being an ex-military hacker who's trying to take down WikiLeaks wherever he finds it, and Anonymous, who are this group of sort of uber nerds trying to take down MasterCard and Visa and anyone who's not accepting donations.
This is because MasterCard and Visa decided they would no longer process PayPal donations to WikiLeaks for people giving to the WikiLeaks site.
Yeah, whereas you could buy porn or do some gambling or whatever.
But it's reciprocal vandalism jazzed up as InfoWar. I think there's a few people getting a bit of a hard-on for InfoWar at the moment, and it's not that glamorous, really. But did you read any of the Wellington cables? Because they're actually rubbish.
Right.
It's like becomes really clear that the war-torn and interesting countries got all the interesting, intelligent ambassadors with good pro styles, because ours is bollocks.
Examples, Russell?
Oh, some of it reads like it's lifted direct from KiwiBlog. Which isn't surprising, because Charles Swinney turns out to be one of their sources, who's the former head of the Wellington Chamber of Commerce, former blogger
Charles Finney.
My favourite bit was Sarah Palin saying that Assange should be executed, hung from the nearest gallows, blah blah blah, you know, sent it out as a tweet, and when she was pulled up about it, she said it was her First Amendment right for freedom of speech. Awesome, Sarah.
Now, look, one of the things I struggle a little bit on the WikiLeaks thing, because I think, you know, transparency is fantastic. But I also think this is very one-sided transparency. And when there's a war involved, I mean, if we were also seeing the Taliban WikiLeaks and the Al-Qaeda WikiLeaks and all these sort of things, but it's very much just centered on the US, isn't it, in the US foreign policy. I wonder that if we are perhaps helping our collective enemies.
It is an interesting contradiction between transparency and also a personal and political right to privacy in some areas, yeah.
A lot of the discussion I've heard is about the fact that this is basically gossip. Then saying, well, that's actually what you need in these situations. You need, if you're going into a meeting with Sarkozy, you need to know that he's, you know, this, that, and the other thing. You don't need to know anything too detailed. You just need to know that he's a bit of a control freak, that he might flip out if you mention his daughter or whatever it might be. You know, that this is the best information, even if it does come across sounding like NW.
And it's the classic word on the quiet as well. There has to be the possibility of confidences being shared. And not every confidence is a conspiracy, but you find with that by virtue of appearing in a WikiLeaks cable, any information just looks like a scandal. Yeah. That's the way it's framed because of the way it's reached us. I mean, the poor New Zealand journalists who participated in the International Visitor Program. It's been running for 60 years. It's not a secret.
Look, the Catholic Church has been in the news for good and bad reasons. I mean, first of all, welcome to the 90s. They've said finally that maybe condoms aren't a bad thing, but only in the specific case of male prostitution, was it?
Yes, so long as you don't use it for contraception. So if it's men with men, then they're unlikely to get pregnant, apparently. I don't know. I don't know if the Pope knows, because he's not familiar with the whole routine, really. But yeah, I mean, it's a massive step forward for people who are fighting HIV in Africa, where there's a massively growing Catholic population. So yeah,
I find the whole thing so weird. That homosexuality, which is a sin, but it's okay if you use a condom, which if you, you know, I just don't get it.
You do get if you're doing
these cults confuse me at the best of times.
Yeah. The Catholic Church always seems to, at the moment, to be running to stand still. You know, they're just trying to sort of keep their heads above water, and failing most of the time.
Well, look, we're rapidly running out of time, but we do need to spend a little bit of time talking about the bringer of hope, the bringer of change, Obama, who's sort of, has he turned out to be a bit of a lame duck president? I don't know.
He certainly has struggled. There's been a lot of complaints which are quite justified about the fact that he's almost been too moderate. You know, he's straddled the fence too much, and as a result, American politics thrives on confrontation. So when the Tea Party and their ilk suddenly raise their voices, they're finding it very easy to get heard because he's refusing to sort of slap them down.
I was just going to say, it makes you realise that the political machine and the way it's structured is so massive that it's almost impossible for anybody to change the way that it's moving.
The interesting thing is that just as everyone's written him off, his polls have started to improve. He's down to a minus 2% approval rating, which is, and it's very solid, best he's been for ages. And the Republican generic ballot in Congress has tightened right up, and they're only 5 points ahead now. So just as everyone's writing the guy off, he may actually be somehow getting some traction.
The biggest thing that'll help him is the fact that if Palin is seriously considering a run, that's going to, a lot of Republicans are going to be more frightened of her than they are of him.
And humorists of the world will rejoice.
Yes. So much fun.
Fantastic. Well, let's not write him off just yet then. Thank you both so much for you today, and also your help throughout the year. We look forward to having you back in 2011.
Oh, yes, please.
The year of the Rugby World Cup and the elections. Plenty to talk about then.
Well, thanks to Michelle Acourt and Jeremy Elwood. After the break, Tom Watts finds out what it takes to put on a good New Year's Eve party.